And our key verse that we've been doing this study on, if you want to grab your Bible, it's in Romans 1. You can see it on the screen if you don't have a Bible. This is a key verse throughout this series. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So let's say that together. Can you do it with a little confidence this morning, a little boldness, a little plus than your normal self? Amen. Say, "I am not ashamed." That was good, but I think we get a little better out of you. You ready? Say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." That includes me, in Jesus' name. All right, now give yourself a hand clap for doing a great job. I love this verse, and we've talked already about witnessing and the rhythm and a great, successful, I believe, plan on how to reach the unsaved and unchurched people in your world. But that verse includes so many more areas than just preaching the gospel. So many more areas than just handing out a tract. It's bringing the gospel or the power of God into your life to affect every area of your life. Some of us say we're not ashamed, but live differently. Not because we emotionally feel ashamed, but because we have put the power of God on the back burner. See, if you're ashamed of something, you don't bring it to the front. You hide it in the back. When you're ashamed of something, you don't bring it to the front. You hide it in the back. You bring them last. When the prophet showed up at Jesse's house, directed by God, that there's a son in the house that I've anointed, I've seen his heart, and I've called him to be the next king. It's amazing how Samuel knew the word of the Lord, but didn't have all the details yet till he walked it out. Can I get an amen? Amen. Some of us won't step until we get all the details. And all Samuel got was, "Go to Jesse's house. When you get there, I'll show you what the next step is." We want God to give us all the steps before we take a step. And many times He doesn't give you all the steps. He just gives you the next step. And so Samuel shows up at Jesse's house and said, "God has sent me to anoint. One of your sons is going to be the next king." Now, I don't know about you, but that is definitely a Facebook moment right there. If it was modern day, they would have pulled out their phone. They would say, "Let me YouTube this. Let me tweet this. Come on." They would have posted it everywhere. Hashtag, "My son's king," right? And he said, "Bring out your sons." And what did he do? He brought them out. Samuel stood in front of one and said, "Nope, not that one. Not that one." Came to one and said, "This must be the one." And when he looked at the one he knew must be the one, God began to speak and said, "That's not the one either." Have you ever had God give you direction and it didn't totally make sense to you in the moment? Because in the natural, there's the sons. No, no, no. It's got to be not that one either. And he paused and asked Jesse for a little more information. I encourage you, when the direction of God brings you to a place that you don't understand everything, stop and wait for a little more information. I think some of us jump too soon, because we are making the choice that seems the only choices in life. It must be this one. And he was open to hearing. God said, "No, not that one." And so he dug a little deeper. "Jesse, do you have any more sons?" "Well, I have one." Now, first of all, I don't know about you, but if you were the prophet of God, wouldn't that just tick you off? Come on. You asked him, "I've come to anoint one of your sons. Bring your sons." What do you mean you brought almost all your sons? That wasn't the instruction from the Lord. Because you understand, under that covenant, under that time, the prophet was the voice of God. See, the king was the authority of God to rule. The priest was the position to minister to God for the people. But the prophet was God ministering to the people. He was the voice, the mouthpiece from God to the people. And so it was basically in those days when the prophet, now New Testament prophets, different than the Old Testament prophet, don't have time on that, stick around, we'll teach you on that too. But the Old Covenant prophet, when the Old Covenant prophet spoke, it was as God speaking. And God told Jesse, "Bring your sons." and Jesse chose to bring most of his sons. Man, how many times have we done that in our life? We almost obeyed. And that almost obeyed almost cost his family. Okay, we got to move on. You study on that in your own time, and I think there's a lot of truth there. He almost obeyed. I know we've all, I kind of obeyed. Kind of obeying is not obeying. But thankfully, there was a second chance. Go get your son. Now, some theologians believe, and we've mentioned this before, some theologians believe that the reason that he didn't bring David out was that he was embarrassed, ashamed of David because of an affair. David was a byproduct of an affair. Now, the reason where they get that, and it comes from David's own writings, where he said, I was conceived in iniquity. Now, you can agree or disagree, and it doesn't affect salvation, but it might bring some clarity on when the prophet comes and says, there's a king in your house. One of your sons are going to be anointed to be king. Bring me your sons. Why would he leave Jesse in the back unless Jesse he was ashamed of? We tend to put what we're ashamed of in the back. Now, I'm not talking about sons. I'm not talking about people. Now we're going to talk about the power of God. How many times do we try to do things that God wants us to do, but we don't invite God's power into the situation? We'll do everything we know to do, and we don't go to trust in God and his power until it's the last thing on the list. Pastor, I need your help. Pray for me. What you need? They're about to repossess everything in bankruptcy. I'm losing it all. I need a financial miracle. When do you need it? In 7 minutes. Now, I know that that process takes longer than 7 minutes before they get to that point. But they waited to the end before they trusted God for a miracle. See, some of us, we wait. We bring God in at the last 5 minutes of a game. And we want God to jump through the hoops and do an amazing miracle. And God can do anything. But if we're ashamed of his power and we don't bring him in the game to the end, because we're so desperate now, we'll try anything. And we wonder why we don't see his power in our lives. Maybe we have inadvertently, subconsciously, maybe we have been ashamed of his power. Not that we're emotionally saddened by it, but when it comes to life, we wait on him until we absolutely, positively have no other choice. Which means we wait and choose him last. What if we started choosing him not last, but first? John Osteen, who's the father of Joel Osteen, who's now in heaven, he made a comment once that stuck with me. He said, a lot of people wait to the bottom of the barrel before they cry out to God. What if you waited, what if you started crying out to God or pursuing God when the barrel goes from full to just an inch down? Don't let the barrel get empty before you seek God in prayer. Don't let the barrel get empty before you decide, oh, I need to work on my marriage. Don't let the barrel get empty before you think, I need to change something the way I handle my... Don't let the barrel get... Start at when it just drops a little. Okay, God, wait a minute. What's going on here? Bring the power of God in early. Say, I'm not ashamed of the power of God. That's what it was saying. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is... What is it? The gospel. It is. The gospel is the power. I am not ashamed, so you could say, I am not ashamed of the power of God. And we teach you around here to keep everything in balance. Don't go to extremes and don't be weird. Get off the weird wagon. God doesn't have, God is not weird, and his people aren't weird unless they were weird before they got saved. And he's working that weirdness out of some people. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, there's some people, God love them, they think being spiritual means you have to be weird. You don't have to be weird. Talk different. Talk in a different voice. Squint, sing, dance, whatever, in a way that makes you look spiritual. Quit trying to look spiritual. Why don't you just be spiritual? Thank you for the half a dozen that agreed. The rest of you, I must stay there for a while because some of you are like... And that's the truth, right? We see some people, you're like, oh, they're so... Well, they might not be anointed. They might be anointed, but... Being anointed doesn't mean be weird. Okay. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone that believes. To everyone that believes. to everyone that believes. Amen. To everyone that what?
Believes.
To everyone the what?
Believes.
To everyone that what?
Believes.
Believes. Today I want to talk about, would you handle that? Today I want to talk about believing. Believing. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
In our Christian walk, I think we struggle because we start with acting before we start with believing. We start with acting before we start with believing. We tend to try to obey, but if we haven't believed, our obeying is effort with no success. Trying without believing, you're going to exhaust yourself. Trying without believing. Oh, I believe in, so we say we believe, and we're talking about that. How do we believe? We say we believe, and believing is a key element. The Bible tells us, challenge everything I say with the Word of God. Write it down, dig it out. But you'll find scriptures will say to him who believes, all things are possible to him who believes. That was Jesus talking in the Gospels. Believing is a key element. Jesus told Martha and Mary, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. That's a manifest of presence and power of God. Believing is a key element. Believing is a key element. Believing is a key element to access God's power. Look at that verse again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To those who believe. Now, there is obedience to it. James says, faith without works is dead. We see that being played out when Jesus told Martha and Mary, and he said, remove the stone. And they said, my brother Lazarus stinks now. It's been 4 days. And Jesus rebutted it and said, didn't I tell you that if you believe? See, when you believe, then you'll obey the instruction of the Lord. When you believe, you have God's power. If you don't believe, you might be doing something, but you have no power to it. And we don't want you to just jump in through hoops because you said you did something. We want you obeying what God is speaking to your heart to do with his power. Because it's his power that causes something to change. Romans 4, it says that Abraham, against hope, Abraham believed in hope that he might become. Abraham believed that he might become. Now, we say it in a short sentence, and it was years of a journey. And I encourage those Friday night in our first Friday service, don't get caught up where you're looking for short cliches to answer all of your problems. Some problems we have walked ourselves into after 30 years of doing something, and we want a single phrase to answer every question. No. Most of these are great wisdom, powerful truths from the Word of God, but they're steps. They're steps. It took you 40,000 steps to get in a problem, and you want God to give you one short answer to get you out of it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we have, and as ministers, we've been guilty of that, creating an environment where we throw out phrases that are great to remember, and we think that that's the answer. The only step you have to do to get you to the promised land. And it's not the only step, it's a step. Because the key step is to follow Jesus and let him walk you through it. And a key step is that if you want to become what God wants you to become, if you want to have what God wants you to have. See, Colossians says that you are complete in him. That means nothing missing or lacking. It's already completed in the perspective of God of eternity. It's already done. And we're walking this out, becoming, growing into the image of Christ, which means if you're struggling with sickness, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. But I'm telling you, in Christ, you're already healed.
Amen.
In the context of it being provided, paid for, and available, the Bible says in the New Testament, by his stripes you were healed.
Yeah.
It was completed at the cross.
Yeah.
Say with me, it was completed at the cross.
Yeah.
Say, it was completed at the cross. When Jesus said it was finished, it wasn't that his ministry was finished. He was still, after the resurrection, had to go before the mercy seat before God and sprinkle his blood.
Yeah.
But he is also a high priest, always making intercession at the right hand of the Father. So it wasn't, it's finished, that I'm done and I don't have anything else to do. It was, it's finished, the price has been paid. And in salvation, that word is in the Greek is soteria, saved is sozo. It encompasses your forgiveness of sins. Praise God, your sins can be forgiven. Praise God, you can be free from your past. Praise God that you can start and have a new life. Behold, all things are new. Come on, somebody. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. We don't want to diminish that. We want to celebrate that. Praise God for that. But I'm telling you, in that package, in that ticket, if you want to say, in that purchase price on the receipt, it's just not your going to heaven, escaping hell. It just doesn't include your sins forgiven. I'm telling you, on the receipt is more line items, more things that are on there. And if you don't look at the receipt, you might not know what was purchased for you. I'm telling you, if you've ever gone to Sam's or Costco's, you know, when you walk out and you got your card, there's always somebody who'll stand there waiting. What do they want to do? They want to see the receipt and measure it to what you have, right? And then they mark it and say, okay, have a good day. I'm telling you, when you walk with God in the card of life, you'll come to those moments with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he'll look over your card, and he'll look over the receipt, and he'll mark it with the blood of Jesus, and he might say, hey, you're good to go. But there's days he say, you're missing something that's already been paid for. It's already there, but we can't step into what is ours, receive what is ours, until we begin to believe. Abraham believed so that he could become. Yes. So how do I believe? How do I believe? Well, Pastor, I'm just trying to get some boldness. I'm shy. Well, no, you don't need to try to be bold. Did you hear me? Yeah. You just need to believe. Right. Because I'm telling you, if you believe, boldness will come. Well, Pastor, I tend to be a little afraid, so I'm trying to get some strength. No, you don't need to try to be strong. You just need to try to believe. Amen. Because if you believe, strength will come. Amen. Boldness will come. The ability will come. Yeah. If God called you to do it, he'll walk you through it. It might not be one service or one week of praying, but I'm telling you, God will walk you through it. We don't want to oversimplify that if you just mentally agree with something, that the next day it all, no, you're going to grow. He's growing you. He's growing you. He's growing you. John 1, and to those who received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even those who believe. So it's just not those who, it just didn't stop with the disciples who saw him, but those who believe him after the fact. To those who believe. Say, I believe. Say, I believe. Now, Romans 10, write it down. Romans 10 tells us that we don't believe with our thoughts, we believe with our heart. It's with the heart man believes. That's where a lot of us sometimes get confused. We think we believe, but all we do is, all we are doing is agreeing. We think we believe, but all we're doing is agreeing. We think we believe, but all we're doing is agreeing. We're hoping God will do it. We sure like for God to do it. We think it's a great idea if God would do it. Come on, somebody. Oh, we talk about God wanting to bless you financially. Well, that sounds good. I'm in on that. That'd be great, right? We talk about God healing you and you're the healed of the Lord. Oh, that'd be great. God's not looking for your approval or your agreement to it. He's just looking for you to believe. Believing's not done in the mindset of, that's why the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because you have to get your mind in its right place. I'm not saying that you act stupid or do something dumb, not at all. I'm not saying that God won't use your mind. You have to bring the process. It's going through the mind area, but that mind has a place. Let me stay there for a few seconds. That thought process has a place. You know, if you work somewhere, they don't call it a place, they call them positions. They might call them titles. And if you're in the military, they call it rank. And if a soldier asks or tries to do something that's beyond their rank, they will say, wait a minute. That's beyond your rank. Listen to me. We've, in our areas of our lives, because you're a three-part person, you are a spirit man, a person, spirit person. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. That's the physical flesh that keeps decaying, even though we don't want it to decay. It keeps aging, even though we don't want it to age. But praise God, even salvation, that physical body is going to be transfigured. Come on, glorified, amen? So even in that realm, we're going to win at the end of the day. But the spirit person is renewed day by day, the Bible says. And you have to understand that there is a constant struggle between those areas of your life. And you have to get to the place of understanding the rank of what something is and be able to tell your thought process, wait a minute, that you're kind of going outside of your rank. You got to tell your emotions, calm down. You're moving beyond your rank, beyond your authority. You don't have a right to make that call.
Right.
A private shows up and says, I'm going to send the platoon to fight over here. They'll say, sorry, you might be brilliant, you might be good, but that's not your call.
Right.
Why do I say that? Because too many Christians are allowing their emotions to be the general in their life. They're allowing their thoughts and ideas and imaginations to be the general of their life. They're allowing their physical body to be the general in their life. And you have to, just like any army, you have to sometimes clarify rank. You're important. We love you. You're good. But this is not your position. Get back to your rank. Get back to your position. Get back to your spot. Ooh, it's getting quiet. You say, oh, I don't have a problem with that. Oh, yeah, try to fast for a little bit. You'll see which, you'll find real quickly when you go on a fast how you start off with, this is a God thing. God's called me to fast. It doesn't take much time to all of a sudden your thoughts start changing on you. Oh, why are we doing that? We don't need to do that. And if it wasn't bad enough, someone will show up with donuts on the day you decide. Come on. That is true. What is happening? The struggle within yourself. We have to get ourselves, because if you're going to believe, you can't believe letting your flesh dominate.
That's right.
You can't believe allowing your emotions to dominate. Because just as you get close to that promise and you're believing and things are working, guess what? The devil's going to fire a dart at your emotional person. He's going to fire a dart of doubt at your mental thinking process. He's going to fire a dart at your physical body and say, oh, this is not, why don't you just not go this time? He's going to fire, but you got to raise up the shield of faith and say, no, I got to do what God wants me to do. What are you doing? Establishing rank.
Amen.
Now that was a rabbit trail, so sorry about that. But
that's...
See, I'm believing.
With my heart.
Now, last verse, and this will clarify, how do we get our heart to a place of believing? Because, folks, we can struggle trying to believe. God didn't say, I want you to try to believe. I want you to believe. We can struggle. I'm working. Pastor, I'm trying. It's just not working. You're trying. You're using the wrong tools to believe. God didn't say, try to obey. He wants you to obey, but you can't. Before you take a step, believe. Make sure you're in a place of belief before you take a step. Don't step because someone else told you to step. Step out of the boat because someone else told you to step, you're going to sink. You step out of the boat because Jesus told you to step. Well, God's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he'll do it for other. Okay, then go get a boat. Go to the Lake of the Ozarks. Get out in the middle of there and step out of the boat. And if you don't know how to swim, we'll do your funeral later. But I'm telling you, you better have a life preserver on, because if you don't know how to swim and Jesus didn't tell you to step out of the boat, you are not walking in faith. You're walking in foolishness and presumption, and you're going to find yourself things not going so well. But he did it for them. Praise God, he did it for them. If you listen to the stories of preachers on TV, let me help you out. If you listen to stories of people on TV of great miracles, it will always start, God spoke to me. The problem gets is when they take it, and usually it's in the area of money. Let's just be real. God spoke to me to give $1,000 to this ministry, and I obeyed, and in 30 days, I had $30,000. Celebrate, hallelujah, we rejoice with those, rejoice.
Yeah.
But you know how the next step, not all of them, some of them, defend you, I still love you, pray for me. But usually there's always that next little transitional step. And they'll say, if you call right now, And if you give $1,000 to this ministry right now, well, they're not Jesus. And if Jesus didn't tell you to give $1,000 to the ministry, am I helping you out now? See, there is too much weird stuff on the extremes in the church world. We got to bring it back in balance. Don't let people manipulate you or abuse you or use you. When God speaks to you, all right, let's get to our verse. Romans 10. Notice this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
We're familiar with that. But let's see how this process works. Next verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See, it's just not saying a prayer, because people can pray a prayer, and if the Holy Spirit's not in that prayer because he's convinced them and convicted them of their sins, and they have an understanding that they are a sinner, that good people don't go to heaven, but forgiven people go to heaven, and they are a sinner in need of a Savior, that prayer's not going to do anything. It's just words. But when they believe it, it's when the heart man believes. And with the mouth, confession is made, Romans 10. Okay, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now I'm saying they can't call on him if they don't believe it. It's just in the context of it's not going to work.
Come on.
I'm not saying you can't do something, but if it's without Jesus, it's not going to work. Jesus said it. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, he's not saying you can't do anything without him in the context, because you can go out and sin without Jesus. In the context of thought, he's saying, without me, you can't serve the Father. Without me, you can't have the success I want you to have. Without me, you can't receive what I have. Without, you can't take Jesus out of the center of the equation and get what your Heavenly Father has for you. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe on him, in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them?
Yeah.
A preacher.
Yeah.
Someone proclaiming it.
Yep.
So here's the simple step that takes the effort. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Because we put all our energy in trying to create the result. I heard one pastor saying it, and he said, you know, we'll spend 5 minutes in prayer every day in 5 hours trying to cast out a devil. And Jesus spent hours in prayer and moments in casting out a devil. Look at the concept. Look at the principle here. What am I saying? We put a lot of energy on the wrong side of the fence. Where should we put our energy in? It's allowing the word to come into our world. How can they even act with success unless they believe? How can they believe unless they have heard?
Yeah.
And how can they hear unless they're in a position of someone speaking?
Yeah.
You say, oh, I'm believing for a financial miracle. How much time do you allow the word of on financial, the principles of God's word on finances to be in your world?
Yeah.
See, if you spend a few hours on TV, and I'm not against TV, but if you spend a few hours watching TV every day and no time in the word,
right,
don't get upset because you don't believe.
Come on.
Let me say it this way. If you spend all day watching reality TV, and I'm not against TV, and no time, very little time at work, don't get upset if your paycheck is small.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
It's not God. It's not the devil. It's how much time you spend. The more time you spend at work, the bigger the
paycheck.
Keep it simple. The more time you allow the word to be coming into your ears, just not reading, but speaking it, quoting it, listening to teaching, listening to preaching. Get that word day and night, Joshua 1. Get the word. Romans 10, it brings faith. Get the word. And what happens? You're putting the word in. Matthew 13, like a seed. You're putting the word in. You're putting the word in. And guess what's going to happen? In time, the belief will begin. Because faith comes by the Spirit of God revealing that word. The belief, and when the belief begins, then you obey. And when you obey, you're not doing it on your own. You're doing it by his power. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're out of time. We're done.